Hey everybody, it's Joe Trippi and welcome back to That Trippi Show. This week we welcome special guest Judd Legum, journalist, founder of Popular Info, a newsletter about politics and power. Judd is one of the leading voices speaking truth to power in America today. Really looking forward to our conversation. Judd, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
And, you know, one thing I want to do before I hand it off to Alex is tell everybody, you know, I saw today that NewsGuard rating gave you 100 of 100 for doing a whole lot of things that we think journalists should do. it was actually kind of I want to congratulate you because it was everything from does not repeatedly publish fake content. I think that's really excellent stuff.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Gathers and presents information responsibly, regularly corrects or clarifies errors, handles the difference between news and opinion responsibly, avoids deceptive headlines. I mean, you just go down this list and you scored 100 out of 100. And I think, one, congrats, and two, it's a shame that so many in the media and so many journalists fall short of that. So anyway, great to have you with us. And again, I urge people to subscribe to Popular Info. We'll put that in our show a link to that in our show notes. And that's the reason why. It's really good quality and reporting that makes a difference. Alex, I turn it over to you.
Yeah, so guys, one of the bigger stories this week, obviously the California recall. Polling was all over the place, but it kind of towards the end solidified a little more with a solid Newsom lead. But as of when we're recording this, he's up by a lot. It might shrink a little bit with some of the last kind of tidbits coming in. But we had a bunch of listener questions. And first of all, I know, Judd, you wrote something on this recently, but I want both of your takeaways on this.
Well, I think it shows the limits of Trump's style of politics for the Republican Party. I don't think you can extrapolate too far. Certainly, there's a lot of Democrats in California, so you can win in California and lose a lot of other places. But it did look close for a while. But then I think as Elder became really the face of this and started articulating sort of Trump-style Republicanism, all the way up to including that this was a rigged election and that it was marred by fraud, I think it fell flat. So it's only going to take you so far. And I think, you know, to me, that's the takeaway. It might still be able to take you far enough in a national election, maybe, but it's not going to work in California and it's not going to expand your universe.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I think you have to be careful about taking too many lessons from special elections or you know, this recall. They're all special situations. It's all turnout game for the most part. What I did think was interesting is that there did not seem to be some kind of, you know, surge turnout on for Elder. You know, I mean, in other words, the Democrats, you know, there was all kinds of questions about whether there was any interest. Did anybody really think Newsom was in trouble? Were they going to bother? And they did. I think that's important. But I also think that it's clear there are a couple ingredients that matter. To the extent the Republican Party nominates these hard, further right Trump wannabes like Elder in terms of their rhetoric and what they're talking about, I think that does give the in even marginal seats there's an opening that provides an opening because those candidates and Elder did tend to push away moderate Republican women, younger Republicans. So I think that's all a plus. But, you know, we're a long way away. And I'm literally looking at Virginia coming up here. The Virginia races, I think, is, you know, that's more of the kind of it's blue. But it's a blue state, I think. But it's a hell of a lot more purple than California is these days. So I'm interested in seeing what happens there.
Well, you mentioned Virginia. Right now, it's actually a pretty similar campaign. The themes in terms of what the Republicans are doing, you got Youngkin. But then on the Democratic side, they're running on vaccines. They're essentially running on the same playbook that that Newsom did. So it'll be interesting to see whether that motivates people, and it may be a better test case there.
Well, that may be. But I mean, look, I think we can talk about all this stuff is going to be different or could be much different in November 2022, including where we are in the COVID crisis and how the two parties are playing it out. It's obviously, currently, it's and in California, and I hope in Virginia it works to bring more reasonable people into voting Democratic as they did in California and hopefully in Virginia. Judd, what I want to really talk though about is all your reporting, a lot of really fabulous reporting on the money that's fueling all this. You know, I was struck by, I think about a month ago, a piece you did or a thread you did, I don't remember, on critical race theory and who's funding that and how it's come into play here. I'd like for you to talk a little bit about, you know, those kinds of things, that, you know, Texas abortion ban and other things that are clearly, you know, attracting financial support and who's driving it.
Yeah, and I think sometimes it's quite straightforward to do this kind of research, and you know, it's readily available. I think you can look at what's happened in Texas, and as the Texas Republican Party has lurched further and further to the right, culminating really in this last special session where they put in place not only a very restrictive, almost entire ban on abortion, but also setting up this bounty system where, you know, $10,000 for a bounty on anyone who helps a woman get an abortion. But at the same time, what I've found in my research is that the corporate dollars haven't stopped flowing. That corporations that at other times have said, you know, there was a subsidiary of AT&T, Warner Media, has said in the past when Georgia tried to do this in 2019, the six-week abortion ban, they didn't have the bounties, but they had the six-week abortion ban. They said, well, we're going to have to reconsider doing business in this state if this bill goes into effect. Now, at that time, you had a little bit of a different situation with the federal courts, and it didn't end up going into effect. So they weren't really tested there. But here now in 2021, there's a different dynamic, and a lot of the same companies like AT&T, like Comcast, some of the companies that have given, you know, according to what I've found, hundreds of thousands of dollars to the sponsors of this legislation just over the last couple of years, were willing to speak out in 2019, but with an even more radical bill that actually is having a big impact because it's been allowed to go into effect, impacting the ability of women to get an abortion, to get health care. It's a totally different situation. So I think it speaks a lot to our political moment. Certainly the right has become more forceful about pushing back against this kind of stuff and really wants to inflict pain. But corporations it's worked to a certain extent. Corporations are less willing to speak out.
Part of what I think, what I've posited is going on is that a whole lot of Americans don't understand what's at stake, and corporate America doesn't either. I mean, they still think we're living in a two-party world. And in corporate America, that meant covering your rear with both sides, giving to, you know, members of the Republican Party on this committee, giving the Democrats on that committee, and then like lobbying them both to get, you know, to get your deal through, and that they don't really understand the sort of the authoritarian threat out there, the wing of the Republican Party that's doing these things and has control of the party, you know, but they're still doing the both sides thing. Is it that, or are they actually kind of engaged in wanting this stuff to happen? Or
no, I think it's more of what you were saying. I think it's about the practice of which probably made sense 30 years ago.
Right.
You know, if you were a business, everyone was in the same general vicinity on policy. You know, maybe they were talking about this tax rate or this tax rate. They were probably going to go a little bit one way on abortion, make it a little bit more difficult. The other side was going to make it a little easier. But there was a realm of this is the kind of stuff that's mainstream, and this is the kind of stuff that's not going to be welcome in either party. But as one side, the Republicans have become more radicalized. You know, we've seen Democrats go farther to the left, but it's a different kind of approach. You know, you don't have this real radical approach, even the way this is set up as far as the enforcement. And I don't think that they've gotten out of that. They still want access to these Republican leaders in a state like Texas because they want to be able to control the tax environment, the regulatory environment. It's not that they so much that they don't care about, it's not so much that they're trying to push these abortion restrictions. It's that they've decided to deprioritize it. But at the same time, often, you know, and this is the case with AT&T, this is the case with a lot of these companies, publicly, they've got these advertising campaigns and everything else talking about women's empowerment, talking about how they're going to be inclusive.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they're kind of playing both sides here. They want to still maintain their access with these very regressive figures who really want to take America backwards 10, 30, 40, 50 years. But publicly, they understand that's not how you build up a public national image that people are going to be attracted to. So they're pushing the exact opposite message. And, you know, one thing I try to draw out, you know, in my newsletter is that these two things don't always align very well, the public messaging and where the money gets spent. Well, you know, and that goes to another part of your question, which is this is just a small piece of it. I mean, when you look at something like Texas and how much money goes to the sponsors of the abortion bill, these figures, because they're limited under law, are relatively low amounts. I mean, $300,000 is a lot of money. It's not that much money if you're AT&T. But there is even larger amounts of money that can be very difficult to get your hands around that are going to 527 right. groups, that are going to nonprofits, that are going to all different kinds of entities where the money, for the most part, stays secret. You know, one of the things that I did around critical race theory when I kept on hearing it, critical race theory, critical race theory, critical race theory, where did you hear it? Last time I heard it, I was in law school, you know, right. 20 years ago. You know, I heard about it in class, but you didn't hear about it much after that. And although a lot of the money is secret, you can, if you're a foundation, you do have to report how you spend your money to the IRS. So I went and looked at these foundation filings, and I found that there was one particular foundation, Thomas W. Smith Foundation. Not a lot of people had heard about it. I hadn't heard a lot about it. But if you look at all of the entities, the Manhattan Institute, the Heritage Foundation, all of these places right down the line, they all have major contributions from the Thomas W. Smith Foundation. And if you look at both Thomas W. Smith and the guy who's really running the foundation, a guy named James Pearson, you can kind of see where this is coming from, because he has very, I would say, retrograde ideas about the role of diversity in colleges, the role of diversity in the workplace, even the value of trying to achieve racial equality. So that's a lot of what's fueling this. So, you know, that's part of the challenge here, is that some stuff is staring you right in the face. Other stuff, we really don't know what's going on. And it's having a big impact on our politics. I think we're going to be hearing, you know, it's kind of faded a little bit, but I think we'll be hearing a lot about critical race theory between now and in 2022. There's going to be right. a lot of ads about it. There's going to be people who are going to make it the centerpiece of their campaign. A lot of it is just, it's all kind of made up. But it's a central political talking point, and this money, that this all this action that's going on right now are setting those ads up. You've got to kind of fill in the gaps for people so that it can hit them when these politicians are ready to hit them with.
So the W with Thomas W. Smith Foundation, is that right?
Yeah.
So they're not, you know, in that case, there's not a whole lot. I would think that, you know, public pressure, citizens raising, you know, their voices that could do to change that giving. But why or do you think the AT&Ts of the world are susceptible to sort of grassroots organizing, you know, to challenge them? I mean, we saw some of this with the Lincoln Project with Toyota. We went after them and it seemed to work pretty quickly. But is that something that you think would work, or are they just, I mean, one of the problems you've got like in Texas is if you're AT&T and these guys is the Republicans have the majority. They got the governor. You know, in other words, you want to make sure your taxes, I mean, all the other stuff that the AT&T wants, right? You know, is like, there's no one else they can deal with. Therefore, we got to give them money. But look at all this other stuff they're doing. How do we, you know, shake them off of that?
Yeah, I think that it doesn't always happen. I think that it can happen. I think you mentioned Toyota. You know, they went one direction. They had cut off donations like many of the companies. And that's something that, you know, I spent a lot of time kind of tracking, is that, you know, these companies were giving money to the Republicans that tried to overturn the election. A lot of them said, we're going to cut them off. And then some of them kept their word. Others like Toyota went back on it. The Lincoln Project and others, you know, pointed that out. They put out a great ad kind of attacking them from it, and then they reversed. Now they're not giving the money. So it can happen. And I actually know that even on this abortion issue, you know, I haven't been able to report this because I'm getting this stuff off the record, but I do know that there are corporations who are going to change their practices as a result of some of the scrutiny that they've gotten about this Texas abortion bill, or at least that's what they're saying, but they're unwilling to say so publicly. So some of it will have to reveal itself over time. I mean, I really feel like they do need to say something publicly because that's what's really going to make a change. But I also think that they don't want to be caught up in a big political controversy, because of course, if you say something, and that's really what's been remarkable. We're moving away. This Texas bill moves away from the right to have an abortion that we've had, you know, in place for decades in the country, and you haven't really had there's been almost no statements, nothing from corporate America. There's been a few exceptions, come a couple of the dating companies, Uber,
right,
Lyft. But for the most part, you haven't heard anything. And I think it's because they don't want to get caught up in it. You know, how sustainable is that if the Supreme Court, like many people suspect, kind of finalizes this when they deal either with the Texas lawsuit or some of these other lawsuits that are pending? I don't know. But I also think that some of the change may not be dramatic, but certainly it's better to get that information out there,
right,
and have people know about it than it is not.
Well, thanks to you and your stuff, we a lot more people do know about it. And it was that, again, it was your thread on critical race theory. I mean, I remember reading about that, and it just struck me that there's so much dark money out there and that's clearly fueling this drive on the right, and they are going to do everything they can between now and November 2022 to set that table, like you said, to sort of set the argument out there, the trap out there, and then run let the political ad firms just go and their own super PACs go crazy to drive, you know, sort of seal the deal continue the fear mongering that they've got going. But the fact that these corporations are wittingly or not financing it. I mean, so many of the 147 members of Congress who voted against confirming or certifying the election are still getting tons of money, even from, as you say, like Toyota said no, then they did, now they're not. But it's just amazing to me that in the face of this, corporate America still continues to sort of play the both sides game.
Yeah, and I think this is really going to come to a head, right? Because you know, you had the IPCC report on climate change. And of course, after it came out, all these corporations, Google, Microsoft, I mean, everyone, they're all out with statements saying, this is important. We're committed to this. We have these aggressive plans to cut our own emissions. Now, the question is, can you really be committed to something like that and be donating to a James Inhofe in the
science denier, yeah.
who's throwing snowballs on the Senate floor? Can you donate to a party that's committed to denying that science even exists? And this isn't going to go away. And right now they do. You know, they're putting aggressive plans for their own company, but at the same time they're financing and supporting politicians who are obstructing what actually needs to happen, which is a collective response from the government, because it's a bigger problem than even a huge company like a Google or an Amazon can fix. So I think that's what's going to come up more and more and more. And I think there is a back and forth in a lot of companies. There's a very powerful segment that's pushing the old way of doing things. But there's also other people who are vocal who want things to change. And that's something that's going to play out.
Well, that's one of the things we've been at the Lincoln Project working on is to actually try to energize and impact employees. So you have consumers, right? But how many employees at AT&T really want, are they willing to raise their voice and say, hey, we got to stop giving to these people if they're going to ban abortion, you know, go down this road, this authoritarian and you know, backwater road. So hopefully that's a tactic that you report, we got to do, but I'm just trying to get some insight.
Yeah, no, but I think you hit the nail on the head with what really drives action. And I think it's especially true with the tech companies. You know, we saw this play out with Microsoft after January 6th. They said, oh, well, we're going to put a pause on all of our donations. And it was really the employees who sent a letter saying, no, this isn't good enough. You need to specifically cut off the people who tried to overturn the election, and you need to do it for an extended period of time. And then they reversed and said, we're going to cut off the 147 Republicans, and we're going to do it for at least the entire cycle. And it's because, you know, if you're a tech company like Microsoft, you can't afford to lose, you know, 100 engineers or at least have them looking for other jobs. I mean, their talent, their skilled people are not easily replaceable. They're already at war with each other, you know, trying to poach right. the talent from one place to the other. So a group of 10 or 20 people, it seems like a big organization, but if it's the right 10 or 20 people, that definitely will get, you know, their attention. And I think it's like that at tech companies, and, you know, probably like that at a lot of different companies, because to a certain extent, all these big companies are tech companies and deal with, you know, people with very specialized skills who bring a lot of value to their company.
Yeah, Judd, you highlight the employee activism as a really important part. And Joe, I know you've been through a lot of big corporate advocacy campaigns over the years. I mean, Wake Up Walmart is one. But what have you seen as kind of those key drivers of change? And what do you think that kind of, if we're telling our listeners what they need to be doing, what should they be doing right now?
Well, I mean, Wake Up Walmart, you know, was a sustained, you know, one-year, multi-year actually campaign to get people energized to impact, you know, and to message and get employees healthcare. I mean, a whole bunch of issues at Walmart, but it was a long sustained fight. And I think we need to do that. I mean, I don't know if it's AT&T, but I think we need to make some kind of example of one of these companies. I mean, the one thing that'll wake up the other companies is to see one getting in a lot of trouble. That tends to wake up the C-suite and the board members of other companies. And I think, so I just think the problem is there's so many companies that do not get what's actually happening here, or like I said, wittingly do get it. And because they're worried about taxes or something else, they're gonna keep funding this. But I think we've got to send a clear message that this isn't Republicans versus Democrats. It's not playing both sides. This is an authoritarian movement versus those that are pro-democracy, and that you got to choose sides here. And it's not give some money to the authoritarian movement and give some money to the pro-democracy side and see what happens. First of all, I still don't get this because, as Judd just pointed out, whether it's climate change, no matter what the issue is, just democracy, autocracy. What autocracy or autocratic movement's been good for company profits anywhere, unless you were state, you were the state-owned corporation. So I don't understand why they continue to sort of fuel this. As Judd pointed out, they fuel, on one hand, they're running ads saying we've got, and changing their own internal policies to address climate change. At the same time, they're giving to these, people are attacking science and going the other way. I think it's really imperative that there's a grassroots, ground up effort to take on some of these targets. And I think, I think it might be AT&T that it's worth trying to go after. I mean, part of the other thing I think that's going on is the reason they're keeping quiet is because they don't want to tick off. They're the same hostage that some of the Republican officials are. They're held hostage by the Trump supporters, right? They don't want to say out loud, these people are crazy, we're not with them, because they want to sell to them too. So I think we've got to, in bigger numbers, say bullshit. we're not going to let you stay silent on things like this. You're either with us or you're not. And if you're not, we're not going to be there for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. And ultimately, it's about what companies feel like they can get away with.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's companies that want to do the right thing, but I think ultimately they're fundamentally cautious. And so it's not that a bunch of companies decided that they would love to make a statement saying that they would stop funding the people who voted to try to install Trump, even though he lost the election. It's because they realized that was untenable. So right now they think it's tenable to stay silent on this abortion ban in Texas, and that's how they feel. And maybe they're right about it. And, it may not stay that way forever. So it's about, will there be sufficient pressure so that they feel compelled to act? I definitely don't think it's going away.
We can't let it go away.
And it's not going away.
Judd, I feel like in the past, 2 years or so, basically everyone's gotten a Substack. We're on it. And a ton more people are kind of moving off of mainstream news onto their own platforms. I recall you were pretty ahead of the curve here. I would love for you to just talk a little bit about your experience starting Popular Info and what you've learned and whether how you think that model's going so far.
Yeah, I did start a little earlier than other folks. I started in the summer of 2018 on my own on Substack. And I think it's a great model, especially for the kind of stuff that I like to do, because there's a purity to it in that, I just have my subscribers and those are the only people I'm accountable to. So, one of the issues about getting some of these stories out there is, AT&T owns a major cable news network. Now, I think it's pretty good cable news network. I like CNN. I watch CNN. I like a lot of the journalists there, but it's a little awkward for them to cover their corporate parent. And it's a little awkward them to cover their advertisers. And so having that independence is very freeing for me. And I think it's a good model. And it also, as opposed to, I came from the model where you're just publishing on the web and you're advertising driven. And that model is really geared to how can you get the most eyeballs on a page? Because the eyeballs on the page, that's how you get paid with your advertising. Whereas the Substack model is built on subscriptions. So it's about forming a deep connection with your readers, giving them some deep value, And that incentivizes me to go and just keep digging and digging and digging and digging. And as it turns out, that's what I like to do as well. So it works out on both sides.
We like that too.
Yeah, is that what is useful and helps get new information out there is also what helps build your business and make it sustainable, and is also what readers want from this. So I'm a fan. I am a fan.
One of the themes we've had from guests in the past, I think Joe, our friend Nico Mele was on, wow, seems like ages ago now, but talking about how the media has such an important role to play in this. And people have talked about how basically if you both sides Trumpism and kind of lay it out like there's two sides of an issue, you're kind of complicit in it. And your approach and what you've been able to do more independently, and no one is going to mistake you for anything other than a progressive, right? But that, as Joe mentioned at the top of the show, that 100 out of 100 in terms of, you know, independence, in terms of, you know, legit reporting, shows that you can actually bring that, and you have a really important role to play in calling all these things out.
Yeah, and I think to me that's the way. How I, for myself, build trust is that I'm saying, here's who I am, here's what I believe. You don't have to agree with it, but I'm gonna put it out there. And it's actually been surprising for me, there's a lot of people who read my newsletter who don't agree with my political views, but who appreciate the fact that I'm giving them some information that they haven't gotten someplace else. And I think that there's a lot of different ways to build trust, and pretending that there are two arguments with equal weight and equal facts behind them doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, that's...
It might have worked in the past, but it's not a good way to build trust. And it's very tricky if you're in that old dichotomy to try to build trust. I think I've been able to do it more successfully because I don't have that legacy. I could just say, here's who I am, here's what I believe, and here are the facts, and here's the link to the primary source material if you don't believe me. But I think that everyone is going to have to start to adapt and change if we don't want our trust in media to continue to erode.
Yeah, I just think that what you're doing is great, Judd, and I really want to thank you for coming on. Thank everybody for listening to That Trippy Show. You can follow Judd on Twitter at Judd Legum, and don't forget to subscribe to his newsletter, popular.info. I can't, you know, push that enough. I think you will really enjoy and learn from the information that Judd provides. We'll be back next Friday at the usual time, and check back soon for more special guest episodes. We usually drop them on Tuesdays. We've got a couple of folks lined up that we're really excited to talk to. As always, please subscribe and leave a review on Apple or wherever you listen. You can always send us a question to thattrippyshow@gmail.com or leave us a question in the review on iTunes. See you next time. Thanks, Judd.